I'm going to read some words that are very familiar. In fact, we've had these words said over and over and over again in the conference as we've gone through the last day. Warren mentioned them several times in his talk yesterday. So I'm not even going to give the reference because you'll recognise it straight away. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. Not everybody in my family was overwhelmed with the fact that I was going into some kind of ministry. I remember having a conversation with an uncle of mine, and he said, so what are you doing then, Phil? I said, well, I'm starting out as a pastoral assistant. He said, fantastic, a plasterer's assistant. That's, he said, that's exactly what we want. It's a hard skill to have, that plastering. You know, we've got a plumber in the family, we've got an electrician, we could do with a plasterer. No, Uncle Harry, you've got it wrong. I'm a pastoral assistant. What's one of them? Well, it's like a vicar. Oh, hell, we don't want one of them in. I think he was a little disappointed because he wanted more practical help and he wasn't quite sure what a pastoral assistant would do and how helpful it would be to anybody. Talking about the mentality of a chaplain, the mentality of a pastor. And one of the things that we can easily do is immediately define that by what job we do, what actions we do. But that's not about mentality. That's describing what we actually physically do. And I think there's a danger sometimes that we want to get on with things practically, but don't look at the mentality and the place that we need to be in and the pastor's heart that we need in that context. Ann Taylor wrote a book called Morgan's Passing. And in the book, she talks about a middle-aged man who passed through people's lives with incredible expertise. And in that, he assumed different roles, depending on what the expectation was in that moment. So he would fulfil that expectation. And in the book, there's one occasion where Morgan is watching a puppet show. And in the crowd, there is someone whose wife is about to give birth. And there's a big shout that goes out as the show comes to a halt. Is there a doctor anywhere? Well, nobody stood up or nobody did anything. So Morgan thought, well, I'll be the doctor. So he said, yeah, I'm a doctor. So he went over, he assessed the situation, he took the two people, the couple, in the back of his car. On the way there, he actually delivered the baby. He then took them to the hospital and dropped them off and went off about his way. A couple of days later, whilst in the hospital still, the couple were asking for Dr. Morgan because they wanted to thank him. And they said in the hospital, we never heard of a Dr. Morgan. There isn't a Dr. Morgan. Well, there must be. It was Dr. Morgan that delivered the baby and was so kind and so helpful. Nope, not heard of a Dr. Morgan. This couple could not believe it. They just wondered what was going on. Anyway, a few weeks later, whilst out with the pram and newborn baby, they spotted Morgan across the road. And they said to him, Dr. Morgan, we just want to thank you for everything that you did. But we cannot understand why the hospital that we're in just had never heard of you. In a moment of honesty, he said, that's because I'm not a doctor. At that moment, you needed a doctor. So I became the doctor. I did what a doctor would have done. He said, in fact, I do it in all professions. I get away with it in all the honoured professions. If somebody needs a doctor, I'll be a doctor. If somebody needs a lawyer, I'll be a lawyer. If somebody needs a pastor, I'll be a pastor. If somebody needs a counsellor, well, I'll do that as the occasion presents. Not a problem. I wouldn't dare or dream to be a butcher or a plumber or an electrician because I would be found out in a second. Sometimes, as a pastor, we can do the right things, say the right things, have the desk in the right state of disarray, ensure that everybody knows that our diary is full, ensure that everybody knows that, yes, we are wanting to spend some time with you, but the reality is we need to move on to the next thing, and do all of that and get away with it. Sometimes we can do it in the context of our chaplaincy. Visit the club the right number of times. Have the smile. Say the right thing to satisfy somebody on that occasion. Talk to people about the conversations that we've had with the manager, with the player. Matt talked yesterday about the seduction of that world and how we can play the part and be the part without actually being the pastor, without having the mentality of the chaplain. But I think we're called to be something smaller than all of that. We're called to something less. It was Dr. Allen yesterday who talked about active listening. Talking about, as a pastor, we're there to hold people, to listen, to get behind, not always be doing. Eugene Peterson has written this beautiful book called The Gift, which is all about being a pastor. And if you haven't read it, I would highly recommend it. But in there, he says, sometimes we should ask not how many people we've spoken to about Christ this week, but how many people have we listened to in Christ this week? And listening is a tough thing because it's about trying to get to a person's heart and get to a person's soul. It's about listening to their pain, their grief, their anxiety, taking time with them. And sometimes it's about listening to the thing behind the thing. There's the presenting behaviour, the anger, the hurt, the tears, even the laughter. But what's the thing behind the thing? What's going on there? And how do we get to it? That is the pastor's heart. That is the place that we need to get to. Sometimes in my chaplaincy at Bolton, there have been occasions when I've not been welcomed in various parts of the club. Now, that has included being at the training ground, because the particular manager at the time doesn't see the point or understand chaplaincy. You can either be hurt by that, either be rejected by that, or just see it for what it is. Work round it. Doesn't matter. Because you know what? At those times, on those occasions, it's given me the opportunity to reassess why I'm there in the first place. Not for me, but for them. And actually, an opportunity to spend time with those I've neglected when I've had the opportunities of being in the glory moments. Speaking to the receptionists, the cleaners, the ones that just going about their daily business within the life of the club, who hardly anybody gives a second glance to. And they really need our conversations. And you know what? Somehow, we don't seem to be bothered if we don't have those conversations with the cleaner and receptionist. We always want the relationship with the manager. But Jesus was about margins. He was about salt and light, as Warren referenced to us yesterday. And of course, we know that salt and light is all about the tiniest bits, isn't it? The little bit of salt makes all the difference. It only takes the strike of one match in the darkness, and the darkness is overcome. Doesn't matter how black it is, the darkness is overcome. So we are called to something smaller. But it's something much more profound, because it's kingdom stuff. When I reflect upon all that time with Fabrice Muamba and strip it right back, then the most powerful thing for me in all of that was the very fact that Fabrice, as a player, as a Christian player, had shared his faith in some ways, but nobody had really heard of him. He was an average player, wasn't a great player. But at that moment, when he collapsed, suddenly the world woke up to prayer. And I said to him, and still say to him, you know, Fab, in that moment when you were lay on that bed, absolutely helpless, hanging on to the thread of life, wired up to every machine you could ever imagine, it was at that moment the most profound happened. Because at that moment, when you were the most still and there was nothing that you could do, suddenly prayer, God and faith appeared on the front page of every newspaper in the country. Isn't that incredible? That it was at that moment. But wasn't it at the moment when Jesus Christ was the most still, when those hands that had healed couldn't heal anymore? He was there, doing his most profound. For you and me. So the mentality of a chaplain, it's the mentality of Christ. It's the mentality of Christ. And the mentality of Christ is small builds kingdom. Because God takes the small, he uses it, and he moves mountains, and all things become possible. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to pray now, and in our prayers, I've just been asked by Bert, actually, if we could pray for John Norman, who is co-chaplain at Norwich City and also pastor at the Soul Church. Because a couple that he's been looking after in the leadership team of that church, yesterday they had a birth, and it was a stillbirth. And he's been with the family, supporting them, and conducting some kind of service of support and prayer with them today. But I think, obviously, just thinking about the theme of being that pastor's heart, I want us just in the quiet to think about perhaps those people we have neglected, those people who need us, those people who need to be listened to for us to get to the thing behind the thing. And maybe in those moments for us all to get back and earth our calling back into the business of God's kingdom. So let's just have a quiet moment of prayer as we reflect upon those things, and then I'll draw our prayers together. Loving God, your grace and mercy and overwhelming love is so profound. And we can only stand in awe as we think of the sacrifices that you have made for each and every one of us. We thank you that you are a God who comes alongside, a God who listens to every heartbeat, every murmur, every anxiety, every joy. And as those that have been called to this wonderful ministry that you have given us in sports chaplaincy, we pray that we might get back to our calling in that work. That we will be rooted in you and you alone. And that we might have that open heart, the pastor's heart, to be able to listen as you listen. And to love as you love. So, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you will guide us in our ministry. And that we might indeed come to the place where we have the mentality in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We pray for all those who we have spoken of within our own hearts and minds. And in particular, we remember John Norman this day, asking that you will give him wisdom and guidance, and that he might know of the Holy Spirit supporting and guiding, and of your love surrounding him and that family in pain at this time. So, Lord, as we draw our prayers together, we pray that as we journey later today from this conference, uplifted, revived, and renewed by what we have done and shared and spoken of together, we might go with a leap in our hearts, knowing that you go before us and are with us in every situation and circumstance we face. These prayers we pray in the wonderful and life-giving name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.